Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly O'Horo, and this is Adaptable Behavior Explained. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm really excited to have you here for this episode of Counselor Cafe. I've got with me my friend and colleague, Erin Steck, who is also a therapist at Infinite Healing and Wellness. And I'm excited to have her today, especially for the topic that we're going to discuss, because it is oh so important. And so, Erin, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I'm a licensed associate counselor and EMDR therapist here at Infinite. I have three boys, and I've been married for 28 years to my husband, Ethan. And one thing that makes our family unique is 4 years ago, we lost our oldest son, Cameron, at age 22 to a car accident. And that was after a really long battle of him navigating mental health challenges and addiction. And needless to say, the impact on our family and the growth that we've had for the last 4 years has been exponential, and it's changed me as a parent. So,
as if parenting doesn't present its challenges enough to have an incredibly traumatic experience happen to not just you, but to your whole family, it can't not upside down the system and everything that you once knew. So thank you so much for your vulnerability and being on the show with us today. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. And I think that having had the story you have makes you an extra special person to have talk about the topic we're going to have today, which is on parenting adult children. Most of my friends now have adult children. And what I've learned about this process is it is so darn challenging. It's so without the blueprints, just like everybody, we as parents have only done this once at this time in this stage with these children, with their adaptations and personalities. And so it's ever evolving, and parenting adults really does change compared to what our expectations were when we were parenting children. So I hope that this episode is helpful for you. If you want more content like this, please subscribe to this channel, like this episode specifically. And if you find it helpful or perhaps necessary for someone you know, feel free to share it. That helps us know what you want to see more of. So this topic is especially important to me because I have five adult children, and the expectations that we have had as parents have really changed in this paradigm of, as far as generationally. You know, you and I were raised by, you know, the boomer population where they just didn't have the touchy-feely, high, over-functioning helicopter parenting sort of energy. At least that was not my experience, and the experience of most of my clients that are in similar ages. Was that yours?
Not at all.
So I think as humans, we all adapt. And my adaptation was to swoop in and do a lot more over-functioning, not wanting my children to feel alone or unhelped or, you know, without guidance. In so many moments of my life, that is how I felt. And so it's like that adaptation is too much of a good thing and can become counterproductive. So it has created its own set of circumstances in our offspring that we're learning how to navigate. And, you know, so when we think about how hard it is and the paradigm shift that's happened, I want to give our viewers some information that can help normalize the experience, but also some guidelines about things we can do if we know better in order to do better and ultimately have more productive, healthy adult relationships transferring from that child developmental age, which there is a lot more directive parenting, to the adult relationship, which is you might consider. Mm-hmm. And if not, we have to just watch what happens because it's not our journey.
Yes. Right?
So
absolutely.
We're going to talk about several topics today, but the first topic I want to talk about is boundaries, because I think the essence of so many issues that happen in all relationships, not just our parenting relationships, is either boundaries that haven't been expressed or spoken about, and then also people who don't know how to implement them, and then how do we follow and honor boundaries that are set, both for ourselves and for our adult children. So what are some of the challenges you can share about changes in boundaries and expectations that happen when our kids grow up and they are no longer kids, they become adults?
There's so many examples I can think of, but one that was hilarious was when my youngest was a freshman in college. And he went to ASU, so he lived 20 minutes away, and my husband and him had been buddies their entire life. They did everything together, and my husband was really struggling with this. And so every weekend, he would send a text like, "Hey, buddy, you want to come home?" And so I think he would feel guilty. And so he would come home and then he'd spend the weekend with us. And this went on for the first 2 months of college. And finally, he sat me down and said, "Mom, how do I tell Dad that I love him and I want to spend time with him, but I want to be a college student?" And I was like, "Well, you got to sit down and you got to say it." And so he did. And
just like that.
Just like that. And my husband was a little bit hurt. And then he was like, "Yeah, you're right. I'm overdoing."
Right. And so understanding the balance of how to know when do we intervene versus when do we stay out of the way. And I think a lot of times that really is, it is a fluid process.
Yes.
We have to figure out what's too much, what's not enough, and how do we define that in our changed relationship? Because it's new territory.
Yes.
It really is. So when we're talking about how these new boundaries have to look and what do we want to do to implement these changes in our relationship, I think the primary factor and the second topic we have to discuss is communication.
Yes.
And this area is so unfortunately poor in most family systems.
Yes.
Because we make assumptions, we make up stories, we draw conclusions that are not accurate, and in the gaps we fill in what wasn't actually done, said, or expressed. And so when kids are transitioning from that child-adult relationship with their parents, and they need more autonomy, agency, and independence. So when we talk about how we have to modify the way boundaries are set when our kids are small versus what are we going to do as adults, the primary thing we have to keep in mind is the second topic we have to discuss. And this isn't just appropriate for our children. This is the most important factor in all relationships, and that's communication. And we tend to not recognize that communication changes depending on, generational time. And so texting or, communication about what we need and how we want, oftentimes done through a voicemail or sometimes a DM in a social media post, or even oftentimes now, how I was thinking about you as I saw something on social media and I shared that. And so we have this totally yes. different shift in expectations. And our kids, that's all they've known.
Yes.
So for you and I, where we would have said, we need to sit down and have this conversation, that's not what they are used to. And so we have to do some adjusting on connection so that we can adapt to the communication styles that are more natural and normal for them,
Yes.
We also have to adjust our expectations around the communication frequency, depth, time. So talking about your husband's example, like, I want the weekend update. And he's like, I want to go to college and have something to update you about,
right.
Yeah. And so we have to adjust those expectations on what that looks like.
Yeah, that's probably been one of the more difficult things for me because I'm a talker and I was used to having my kids come home and just chat with me. And now they're away and they have their lives and the frequency is less. And sometimes I have to just do a little nudge. I did not like the texting because I can never understand tone or the emojis. They laugh at me because I can't get any of the emojis right. But then it's just become a sense of humor. Like I just have to have a sense of humor and I try to send memes and GIFs and I get them all wrong, but that's okay. That's okay, right?
We're
evolving
right.
and learning to communicate the way they do.
So from the parent experience or as a therapist from a client story, can you give an example of where you've seen this be a challenge and something that you might suggest to help overcome a communication issue with our adult kids?
But the biggest complaint, interestingly, from my older clients is they hate when they're being called in the car. They feel like they're an afterthought. So I think that's been an interesting thing because I do that to my mom because I have time. And I was like, oh, maybe I should ask my mom, is that really what you want me to do? What would be helpful for you? Because my mom's 77. But then our adult children who are younger, I finally did ask my children, I'm like, what's appropriate for me to call you in college? Like, what's a appropriate frequency? And they told me what they wanted. And then interestingly, they ended up calling me more. So I think you have to have clear communication. And if you're overstepping bounds, tell your children, like, just let me know.
Right.
What is it that works for you?
Keeping that communication line open.
Yes.
So that we're saying, hey, this is new territory for me. I don't know what you're going to need. And one of my worries is that you think I've forgotten about you if I leave you alone too much.
Right.
And also, I don't want to be intrusive, but I am interested in you. And I don't want to lose touch with you as a person. I want to become your friend as we transition into this space. And I think that clear communication is so helpful. And then also communicating with your child that, listen, adulting is new territory for you. And although I want us to evolve into a friendship stance over time, I get that you're brand new at doing this, whatever that looks like. And, you know, I think that really lasts for a while. It's not like I turned 18 and now I'm supposed to know all the things that I wasn't really ever taught or had to figure out on my own. And so that line of adulting at 18, I think, is got to be fluid because it's just an unfair expectation.
I think the good thing about this level of communication or the fact that we have technology is if you think about in our day when you left at 18, you really could only call occasionally because it was so expensive. Or you might have questions and, you know, your parents, it was always like, did I teach them enough? Well, now it's really the concept of we've got time. It's okay. It's an evolving thing. And you can call me and I can call you and you're going to evolve and we're going to do this together.
And learning is such a lifetime endeavor. And also we have everything at the ready.
Yes.
So I didn't have to teach them how to balance a checkbook because they can just
they can go on
Google or go on YouTube and then they can say, you know, show me how to balance a checkbook. And then there's this lesson at the ready. So the relationship has changed and the need that a kid has from us has changed as well.
Absolutely.
But, you know, can you give us an example of that line of balancing that independence versus, you know, your showing up for them in your own story, maybe?
This Christmas would be a good example. So my son just graduated, had a very busy semester, was finishing up, applying for graduate school, applying for jobs. And I was all excited. I had this whole Christmas planned. I'm a big planner. Everything was planned to the hilt. And I really didn't take him into consideration. And so we had a day that was kind of like not planned. And I had decided that we were going to go get groceries and I was going to help him with his new apartment. And we had all these things. And he just started getting really ornery with me. And I was offended. I was like, how dare you? I, as your mother, am doing all these wonderful things for you. And he was actually really sweet and did all of it. But later I had some self-reflection and I was like, I totally steamrolled him with what I wanted.
Yeah, you made it the day about you and how you could be such a great helping mom.
Great mom. Yeah. Yes.
And we all fall into that.
Yeah.
You know, and something we've developed in our house that I think has gotten better. And it's not just between my husband and I, but it is with our kids is what would help look like? Or what would your needs look like for today?
Yes.
So that we can honor one another and what that is. And that is a great question. You know, what does help look like right now based on what you're saying to me, this problem? Because I need to know how to show up for you and I don't want to do it in a way that's not serving you.
Yes.
And we just have to ask.
Yes.
And oftentimes that builds so much connection in our relationships with our adult kids because they recognize that we see them, And I think they all, just like everybody, we want to be seen. We want to be understood.
Well, and I think even in that situation, I went back and repaired. I went back and I said, hey, I really thought about this and I realized what I did and I'm really truly sorry. And next time I'm going to ask you, how would everyone like to spend the day?
Right.
And what would it look like for you too?
Sure.
So
I did the very same thing this year with Christmas. I had this agenda and I didn't, you know, do anything to find out what everybody else wanted. And that blew up in my face for sure. So lessons keep coming for sure. So the next topic I think that is an important thing to discuss is about financial support, financial concerns. You know, we say, I've got to get him to 18. I got to get him out the door. But the truth is in this day and age, there is no chance an 18-year-old's ready to financially support themselves. And the anxiety that comes with that expectation in some households is almost debilitating for some young adults. And so I think that setting appropriate expectations with the financial concerns and really recognizing that every child's needs are different depending on things that they've set up or things that have been, you know, offered to them based on academics or scholarships or things like that, and the trajectory that they choose based on their personal desires and such. And so what do you think is the biggest struggle with this for both kids and for parents when it comes to financial support?
So it's so individual for every family, but I also think that there's like this expectation of fairness that's like, it's impossible. You cannot be fair with everybody. You could set it up that way. You could be like, I gave you this amount of money. And then, like you said, something happens with that child. Or for instance, we talked about COVID. You know, our children, our youngest children were in COVID and mm-hmm. they couldn't have jobs.
Right.
Where, you know, our other right. children, so they didn't even have a resume or an experience to even financially figure that out for a while. They missed out like on a really crucial learning time in their life, and then they had to make it up later.
Right.
So of course we have to help them a little bit more because they weren't quite as ready for college.
Right.
Academically, same problem. So the finances, I think, are so, it's about communication with your children and what do they need? What can you give them fairly, realistically? What do you have to offer?
And without putting yourself at yes. risk, because I think that's the other thing is so many parents think I have to give so much to you at the expense of my own wellness yes. or okayness. And we as parents have to also consider, you know, if nobody's going to be there to take care of us when something happens, we need to be responsible for that on our own. And
yes,
we don't know. Mm-mm. We don't know what's coming for us or, you know, for them. And so setting those financial boundaries is really important. But I think you said something that I thought was important as well related to that perception of fairness. And I think that COVID example is a really great example. I know that my youngest was in college during COVID and, you know, he started with this full ride scholarship situation where there was not a whole lot financially that we were needing to support with. And, you know, with COVID comes, the school's all shut. College didn't look like normal college. You know, I think like such an extraordinary percentage higher than normal, people dropped out. I mean, it was just like not yes. We didn't have any book about, well, now the rule were, you know, was I will do this as long as you're yeah. in college. And it's like, you know, all of these things from a mental health perspective had to be taken into consideration. And so I think that we do have to give ourselves some grace that circumstances yes. will happen, you know, or maybe one kid gets in an accident.
Yes. Medical issues.
Right.
There's so many
mental health issues or, you know, maybe someone has a baby.
Yes.
And even though, you know, you didn't choose for them to have a baby, you also don't choose for them to suffer for the rest of their life because of this situation.
Right.
And so how do we step in and how do we intervene in ways that can be supportive, handing up as opposed to handing out? And how long does that last? And, you know, you and I talked before the show, I really agreed with you that kind of that 18 to 25 season really does tend to need more of our support.
Yes.
Than back before where we could say, well, or maybe some of our parents said, you're 18.
You're 18. Yeah.
Good luck.
It's just not going to happen in this day.
It really isn't. Not successfully.
Not successfully.
Right. No. So the next topic I think we need to discuss are parent expectations versus realities, right? We all have this idea about who our kids can be when they grow up. And we have this vision of their capabilities and their competencies and their intellectual, you know, stance and the opportunities that we've worked so hard to provide for them and what they should do with those things. And then we, of course, do that comparative thing where had I been offered these things, I might have done whatever else. And I think it's so grossly unfair to do to our kids. And yet we all find ourselves doing it.
Absolutely.
And so recognizing that balance between recognizing that we want for them, but it isn't about us.
Yes.
What does that journey need to look like for them? And taking into consideration that they've got, you know, this just in, their very own ideas about what they want their life to look like. And that actually matters way more than what we want for them. From career choices to financial decisions to religion to family planning, whatever it is that are these big topics, we really don't get a say. And I think that management is so critical to the transition of what our kids choose to do and how much they want to be involved in our lives based on how we receive their choices.
Yes, very much so.
So based on that topic, talk to me a little bit, talk to our viewers a little bit about key factors that you think are important to keep in mind about this topic.
So I think support is the biggest. Trust your kid that they know what they need. That's really important that you don't know what they need because nobody knows what's going on inside of somebody. Try not to live your life through your child. You know, it's got to be, you've got to be their biggest cheerleader and help them to actually reach their goals, but then trust that they know how they can do it too. So an example of that is my son. Our entire lives, he wanted to be a doctor. We were very excited. My husband had always wanted to be a doctor and didn't get that opportunity. So of course, we started living our expectation and dreams through our child. And that was always the plan. And then his freshman year, he took a computer science class. And I was like, okay. And he really loved it, and then changed his major and called and was so excited. And I was not excited. And neither was my husband. And we were like, but you said you were going to be a doctor. We've made this plan forever. And he was like, well, I don't want to do that anymore. And it was just like this, you know, and I was like, and so I really had to sit back and stop making it about me and our expectations and everything that we'd worked for. And I just let him go. And he loves being a software engineer. It's his favorite thing. He calls me and talks about zeros and ones, and I have no idea what he's saying. But, you know, I just trusted that he would find his way and that he would know what was the best for him. And I think if we as parents just try to do that and give them the freedom to know that it's their life, it's their journey, and we're just there to help them, then it's going to be a lot better than if we keep imposing what we think they should be or what we expect them to be. Yeah.
Well, you have to embrace the transitions and the changes that come from them to us, and recognize that we had an opportunity to make mistakes, to fall down, to course correct, to change our minds. And we oftentimes get held up in that habit or pattern of trying to protect our kids from making the wrong choice. Right. You know, we don't want them to make these wrong choices in my air quotes, because we think we know better. And, you know, of course we have experience and we want to impart our wisdom on our children and protect them from the mistakes that we may have made or the opportunities that we didn't have. But ultimately it robs them of their journey.
Yes.
And it makes these decisions then a reflection of our acceptance, love, and whatnot for our kids, which is conditional. And I think that really can sever relationships.
Oh, absolutely. I think also we can be rigid. So like in those expectations, when I was in my 20s, I had a mentor who had changed his career 3 times. And that actually led me to know that you can make a decision and it might not work out the way you wanted it. And that's okay. You can make a change. And so letting our children know that too, like everything you decide isn't like set in stone.
Right.
Right.
We change our mind. It's okay to change our mind. And we would tell our clients, no problem. Exactly. Of course, it's okay to change your mind. What'd you learn and what happened next? Exactly. But with our kids, we're like, wait a second, this wasn't part of the plan.
Right. Right.
You know, the other thing we need to really make sure we focus on is celebrating the achievements and the wins and not boxing in those, what those are based on what we think they should be. So I'll give you an example. My son, my youngest son, he's really into snowboarding, and he's quite talented at snowboarding. And, you know, he can do backflips and all of this really fancy stuff. And it's so hard not to say, where's your helmet? You know, he wants to show me this achievement. And my first instinct is to criticize how he did it because of his safety. And of course, you know, I don't want anything bad to happen to him. And so I have had to really work on that, because luckily for me, he calls me out when I do that. You know, it makes me not want to show you. It makes me not want to show you when I have something that I'm excited about, when the first thing out of your mouth is how it should have been different. And so good feedback. Not to say that it is, you know, not a good idea to do backflips on your snowboard without your helmet, but that's not the time for it. You know, right. In that moment is the time to say, dang, you're so smooth and that looks so good. And, you know, at a later date, you might be able to chime in about, I have some anxiety around seeing that without it, because nothing's more precious than, you know, your neck. Yes. That's so true. And fast forwarding and me not having to take care of you because you didn't wear that or whatever.
I worked really hard to bring you here.
Right. Yeah. So the key about being flexible and that delicate balance of adaptation and needing to be able to be flexible is so important with how our kids grow and change and the direction they choose to traverse in their lives. And I think us being open to that flexibility is such a key factor.
Absolutely.
So the next topic we have to discuss is the emotional implication for both kids or adult children and parents, because we are going through a flood of them during this really important developmental time. And I think what we go into it with is first the pride and fulfillment of having been parents and what they are choosing to do and how, you know, we make up that their choices are somehow a reflection of how we parented them. And really, we don't get to take credit. I mean, I started telling my kids a long time ago, you should be proud of yourself because yes. It sort of doesn't matter what I think. But that's one factor that comes into play about being a parent is the pride that we feel. I mean, absolutely. You know, for sure. But the loss and the grief over an era is really important as well. That my identity as a mom, our identity as having kids in the home and what do we do with our time? That's so important and special. What was it like for you when, you know, your last one was leaving?
Absolutely terrible. It's been really hard. He left a year ago and my husband and I thought, you know, empty nesters, all of our friends have gone through it. And they weren't honest with us totally about how really hard it is. It was an adjustment, a huge adjustment for us. It's very lonely. It's quiet in the house. Mm-hmm. I love the fun of having children and their friends and all the mm-hmm. busyness of it. And mm-hmm. now it's just me and my husband and my dogs. And I'm getting used to it, but mm-hmm. I cried a lot, truthfully.
I did too. My whole last year, it was like the last this, the last that, yes. the last. And I just, I grieved, I think it's appropriately, about the change in their circumstances yes. and that this was coming to an end. And I did have so much of my identity tied up in yes. my role as a mom and all of that. And even though I had a lot going on in my own professional life and whatnot, I really stood in those shoes of needing to be a good mom. That was what I really wanted. And so when that wasn't part of my day, it was a lot of grief. And I think it's important to recognize they're going through some grief too. The loss of and the grief of my childhood is over. I have to go start making adulting decisions. And that's overwhelming for them. And I have a lot of people on my caseload that I've seen that, you know, in those 18 to 22, just a lot of depression and sadness because of the change in that developmental period and how it's sad. They don't get to be little kids anymore. And the decisions they make are impactful and it means something about themselves.
Yes.
And so it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
And then what about worry and concern? Talk a little bit about for you what that's been like.
That can be overwhelming. You have to like rein it in a little bit because it's a loss of control. And I don't know why I thought I had control.
I was going to say, and that illusion.
And that's an illusion, right? But we think that when they're little, sure. right? It's very controlled and we can control the outcomes for the most part. And then as they get older, we get that idea. But as adults, I literally have no control.
Right.
And so, you know, we talked about that a little bit too, like our children decide to go on trips and we're like, but do you really need to do that? Because it's winter. Or
yeah, it happened to me last night. It's like, I have worry and concern. My son's going to go snowboarding and it's in a snowstorm and he's going to drive up the mountain at night in a snowstorm. And it's not my place to say you shouldn't do that. You know, I am saying, please be careful. Do you have your chains? Let me know when you get there because I'll be concerned. But, and you know, he was honoring and let me know when he arrived. But the whole time I'm like looking and tracking and, you know, right. It's hard. And of course, that's not for me to put on him. I'm worried that he's not safe or something could have happened. So I think that that's the thing. And then they're worried too.
Right.
They don't want to need us. They don't want to make the wrong decisions. They don't necessarily know what they want yet, but they've got to make decisions.
I think it's a delicate balance. And I think it's just, like we said, it's an evolution and it's kind of fun too, because I'm always proud of them when they do it. So he made it safely, right? So he did it and he did that adulting thing. And then we just have to encourage them and track them on our phones.
Or not track them. You know, my husband goes, and this is going to change what? I'm like, well, but if he's in a ditch and I see it for long enough, then I can have a team go yes, to wherever because exactly. I can track the look. You know, and again, we didn't have that. I mean, it was like, come home when the lights are on and the street lights are on and it's like, you're late. Well, yeah, the street lights go on and then you come home. And, you know, it was so different when we were kids. And there's a nostalgia to having them at home that I think yes. we have to just recognize, that bittersweetness of, you know, the responsibility that we sometimes can't wait for that to be over. And at the same time, the sweetness of being able to walk into their room and say, how was your day?
Oh, yeah. When they're all home, I still feel that little piece in my heart, like, oh, they're all here.
Yeah.
And that makes all is well in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
The fulfillment of parenthood, it really, when we set down the expectations, is like no other experience.
For sure.
So let's talk a little bit about the identity loss and that purpose that we had and how that changes when you are empty nesting.
So being a mom was a huge part of my identity, and I just did it full force. And I think I'm a little unusual. I decided to start a new career at 50. So I became a counselor, and I did that with purpose. I actually had a plan, believe it or not. I started when my son was a freshman, and I knew I was going to have a really hard time when my last left. And so that was my plan, was that I wouldn't feel the loss as much. Of course, I was completely wrong about that, but
at least you had something to distract yourself with a little bit though as well.
And I love working with young adults and having that opportunity to get new ideas, even as a mother, but especially it's given me a purpose that I don't think I would have had.
What do you think's been the hardest thing for you emotionally transitioning to this phase of your life as a parent of an adult child?
Being quiet. I always had an opinion, and my boys always sought my opinion. And now I just have to learn to just step back and emotionally not get involved. Like, I would just get involved in everything, you know, and now I'm just like, what do you think? Okay. Like, I just listen. Yeah. That's the hard part.
That's the goal. I like what you said before when we were talking about kind of learning how to be the support from behind. You know, can you say more about that?
I think it's really hard. Like I said, I have very strong opinions. My boys know that. They'll call me out just like your son. And I just try to be supportive. And it's been a bumpy road where I'll call and give my opinion and tell them they did it wrong. And then they'll call me and tell me I did that wrong.
Mm-hmm. I do it a lot wrong.
And then we'll have the conversation. So it's just constantly evolving, but I feel like I'm getting a little better at it.
And I think that one of the messages I want to impart for our listeners is that we have to have grace for ourselves. We're just figuring this out. This is my very first time being a parent of someone at this age, in this stage, with this family system, in this paradigm. And so it's like the humanness that's part of it as a parent. I think we need to give ourselves grace. Circle back when we need to. And we need to give our kids grace because this is their first time trying to navigate these waters as well. And it is going to be messy and bumpy. And I love that you said, you know, I said I did it wrong. And then they call me and they go, yep, you know, you did this part wrong. And I'm grateful to my kids when they tell me this wasn't, that could have gone better. And here's what it could have looked like. I think where it gets hard is when they don't know what they need. That's really tricky. And so we have to be even more patient when they don't know what to say about what they need. And I experienced that with some of my kids too. Like, what do you need it to look like? And they don't have an answer. And so then we have to wait because there's not much we can do until they share with us what it could look like.
I was going to say, that reminds me of just even counseling. And, you know, one of the things they teach us is not to jump in, to let the person kind of sit with it. And it's really uncomfortable to sit with someone when they're trying to figure out their stuff.
And you're going, it's been a month.
Right.
It's been 6 weeks. When, you know, right. when do I get to be back in relationship? Because
right,
we're waiting for them to figure out, to talk to us. It's really hard.
It's hard.
And we have to give them the space to do it.
Yes.
And then balancing like, but I'm here just so you know, I'm like still here loving you.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tricky. It's tricky territory for sure. Yes. And that really leads me to the last topic we have to discuss, which is really letting go.
I don't think I've done that yet.
It's so hard.
It's really so hard.
And I think that's where relying on, if you're lucky enough to have a spouse that you get along with and find things in common, that piece is really critical, is going, it's time for us to rebuild the foundation that was so ever important, but refocusing on us and what we need and how do we need to move forward, because letting go is the natural trajectory of what we are meant to do and what they need from us, even though it's so incredibly challenging.
But it will be better for them. They will be better people for it.
Sure.
Stronger, more resilient, and we'll all find our way.
And they then get to be proud of themselves for the achievements that they accomplished because it wasn't about us and they did navigate it and they can lean in and ask us questions and advice if they want to. But ultimately, they get to take the credit for the outcomes. And I think that's what we have to be excited about. But then we also don't have to take responsibility for the outcomes when they're less than favorable.
Yes.
And that's the freedom of letting go too, of saying, listen, that is really hard. What you're going through is just hard.
Right.
And I am not judging you for it. I have a lot of compassion, but I also am not really supposed to fix it for you.
Right. And that's hard too.
It's hard to sit in the discomfort of choices that we know are painful for our kids. So this ultimately though helps us to rekindle that parent-adult friendship or adult-adult friendship that can be so beautiful. And the counterintuitive piece that I am learning in my own journey right now is my ability to be better at letting go is cultivating better friendships in my adult children and absolutely will do so as that becomes more known and, you know, tuned into. Would you agree?
I absolutely would. I think that's the evolution again of the family and how we always had traditions, mm-hmm. and traditions can change.
Absolutely.
And so as we become adults and they need to, they're going to bring in stuff to us and enrich our lives too of things we would never have tried.
Absolutely. And so exciting to have the ability to have the dynamic fluidity of what can life look like and change into. And I think letting go is really the key. Letting go of all of it and going, what will be next, and embracing that.
Yes.
I'm so grateful to you for being on the show. And I love that you're in this phase and that I'm not alone in this phase of empty nesting with young adults. I appreciate having that in a colleague and in a friend with you. So thank you again for being here.
Thank you for
those of you who were watching, I hope that you found this helpful and beneficial. Know that you're not alone in this journey of parenting adult children. It is tricky business and there are no blueprints for doing it right. And we are just doing the best that we can. So have grace for yourself. And if you like the episode, please go ahead and subscribe and like, and don't forget to lead with love. It'll never steer you wrong.